The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. Hey, it's Dean Weitzman and this is Court Radio. And today is the 26th of October. That's right. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, the one, the only, the inimitable, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hello, hey, Dave.
Hello. Hey, I want to do a quick shout out.
Go ahead.
To my sister, Lynn. And my brother-in-law, Bill, who happened to have a birthday a day apart, October 24th and 25th.
There you go.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, kids.
Lynn and Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Going to do cupcakes or something for Lynn and Bill?
No. Probably just go out to dinner.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, maybe a cupcake after that or something.
And loud obnoxious singing in a public place?
Yeah, yeah, you know, the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Embarrass them somewhat.
There you go. Make them wear a little, you know, those cone-shaped hats, maybe.
Yes. Mm. Cone-shaped hat with the little that little thin string that you can snap and around their neck.
It doesn't quite fit.
Yeah, it never did.
Folks, we're back on the air. It's Court Radio. If you've got questions, you know what to do. Give us a call at 215-227-2727.
Yo.
The legal team, Dean and Dave, we're here. You know, if you've got legal issues, one of the annoying things, David, I've found in the last couple weeks is that folks have been calling me.
Just one annoying thing?
Okay. Well, no, there's a whole lot, but this one especially. Folks call me.
Right.
But they call me after they've had an experience.
Uh-huh.
They're under representation with an attorney.
Right.
He or she is, according to the client, not doing a good job, right? The representation, according to the client, is not up to the standards of Dean Weitzman and My Philly Lawyer. And they call me to take over a case that's a year old.
Right.
That's got, that's already got a ton of problems. And I just wish folks would call us first, you know, before they made the phone call to anybody else. If I don't handle your case, if I don't want your case, if it's not what I feel like is something we can help you with, I'll be happy to send you somewhere else or to give you kind of a thumbnail sketch of why we're not taking it. But if you start with us, chances are we're going to take your case, we're going to represent you, and it's going to be done right out of the bat, you know, right out of the...
Yep, yeah, I
start.
We get that a lot.
215-227-2727. That's the number. All you got to do is call it all week long, any day, but during 7 to 8 on Sunday mornings, David and I are here to answer your questions live and for free. That's right. For free.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get any better than that, right?
Yeah.
The call should be just flowing in, and they do.
Yeah.
Because it's free.
Yeah, but, you know, many things we handle back at the office, and it's more than just a quick answer on Court Radio. Though it's the right answer on Court Radio, it's not representation. And if you need representation, that's where you got to go. You got to go down to Philadelphia, or you go to the Northeast office, you go to the Center City office, and we're opening more offices all the time, so... That's what you have to do, 215-227-2727. You know,
what's up?
Today's topic is one that we hold near and dear to our hearts, and that is motor vehicle accidents. You know, and we talk about it all the time. We kind of weave it into many shows,
right.
But today's show, we're going to focus on it. And folks, let me tell you, if there was somebody out there that was killing people, okay? The way the automobile and especially trucks kill and maim people. Last year, David, 33,000 United States American folks lost their lives in motor vehicle accidents. Motor vehicle accidents kills so many people.
Yeah, well, not only that, but the more important reason we talk about it all the time, you might say, why do they keep bringing up that same subject? It's because for some reason, I don't know, Dean, you may agree, maybe not. And I see this in my office. It's not getting through. People are coming in with limited tort all the time. They still have it. They still don't have uninsured and underinsured. They don't have all the coverages that you need to have. They have backwards policies where they have, you know, liability covering other people for hundreds of thousands of dollars, and then they don't cover themselves for anything. Just all the things that we talk about, people aren't doing.
I agree. I have seen, I'll give our callers this, I have seen every month or so,
yeah,
one new client will come in with a good policy, full tort, and say, because of you and David, because of you and David, I upgraded my policy, and I know what full tort is.
Right, okay? Right. That's the first step.
I know that full coverage doesn't equal full tort.
That's right.
And here's my policy. And sure enough, it's a legitimate, wow, good policy.
That makes me feel good.
Yeah. And they say it's because of you guys. You know, without you, I would not have gotten this policy. I stopped listening to the insurance agent.
Yeah.
And I started listening to you.
We're still getting too many people coming in that still, yeah, have limited tort. Even I've had clients who've come a year or two after a prior claim of a family member or something, and they still have limited tort. I just, yeah, don't get it.
Well, you know, it's the magic of saving a few bucks in the front end.
Yeah.
And they're not even sure how much. That's,
yeah,
the
they
annoying
don't know
thing.
Right.
They don't know what they saved because they haven't done the proper comparison. As I've always said to clients, if you've done the proper comparison and you know what you're saving and that's important to you, then I respect the fact,
right,
that you have a limited tort policy.
Sure. If you knowingly gave up your rights for whatever you saved, then okay, that's what you chose to do.
215-227-2727. So 33,000 people, and that doesn't include those who were seriously injured,
right,
catastrophically injured. That's just those who died. Now, I want to tell you, yesterday I'm driving around Philly, right? And I've seen the craziest things. Cars just floating from one lane into another.
Floating.
As if they have control of the entire world.
Right, right, right.
Cars going through intersections on cold red lights.
You know what that is, don't you?
Yeah, I kind of...
Texting and on the cell phone. It's got to be. It's just distracted driving.
It is distracted driving.
Yeah,
no matter how safe they make cars...
Yeah.
When we get in, we find ways to do the damnedest things in cars.
It's true.
You know, I mean, I saw, you know, they're eating a burger.
That's another thing, eating, yeah.
Eating a burger, talking on the cell phone, and texting all at the same time. Like they're an octopus. They've got three hands.
Well, my knee can steer pretty well when I'm eating a burger while I'm driving, right? Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
It is. And you know what? I want to hear folks, their stories. People must have seen this. My cousin, Randy, was with me yesterday.
Yeah.
And Randy said that he was watching a car. There was a construction site, and the car drove right into the construction site, hitting a wall that they had erected, as if it wasn't there.
Right, like no stopping.
Right. At full steam, tilt, boom.
It's texting. That's got to be texting or something, right?
Here's what I predict. I predict the day is going to come, it's not far off, where when the wheels start to roll in your car, there's going to be something in your phone which shuts the phone off.
No, that's not a bad idea.
Dean Weitzman. It's a prediction.
Shark Tank. It's my new show. I love it.
Yeah. When the wheels start to roll, the phone gets cut off, and every cellular manufacturer and every car manufacturer
will be required
to put that component in each of those items in order to disable the cell phone while riding.
Did you protect this idea because you just put it out on the airway?
No, but you know what? Our listeners are good folks, and they'll give me my percentage.
Yeah, right. Okay.
215-227-2727. All right, let's take some callers, all right?
Yep.
Here we go. Let's talk to Dennis from East Oak Lane. Yo, Dennis, welcome to Court Radio.
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
All right. Thank you. Now that you're on the phone, what's your question?
I had a question about my brother was the administrator of my mother's property when she passed. Now that brother has passed, and we've been trying to find out about the mortgage of my mother's house. And the mortgage company won't give us no information, said that they're not allowed to, about the balance or whatever, any information they won't give us.
Okay, first of all, you kind of cut out. Did you say that your brother was the administrator for mom's estate and your brother passed?
That's correct.
Okay, so when did mom pass?
2009.
Okay, and so what you need to do is you need to go into court and have a new administrator appointed for your mom's estate that takes over because your brother obviously isn't doing it any longer. And so you need to bring a death certificate for your brother into orphan's court or down to the register of wills. And you need to let them know that he was the previous administrator and he's passed away. And you need to pick one from the family who will take over. And then the mortgage company will feel that they can talk to you because you'll be officially appointed as the administrator. And you'll have a document to say that.
Yep.
Yeah. And how many kids how many kids are left?
Five.
Okay. So the five of you need to get together, pick somebody who's going to be the administrator, and all four of the ones who aren't going to be the administrator will need to sign off on that, allowing the fifth person to be the administrator, and then the court will allow that person to administer the properties. If you need help doing that, okay, and I'm not sure the value of the estate, how many properties, how complicated it's going to be, but if you need help doing that, you can give us a call during the week, the same number, and ask for Saul. Saul does all the you know, wills and probate and estate work.
Right.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
Take all care, right. Dennis, and have a great Sunday.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
215-227-2727. Let's talk to Glenn on Southwest Philly, who's got a question. Hey, Glenn, welcome to Court Radio.
Yes, how you doing?
Good.
I work for the juvenile justice system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I deal with incarcerated youth. And in the building, they have men working on the men's side, and females working on the men's side, but they don't have males working with the females on their side. Is that a discriminatory practice or what?
That's a good question.
They won't allow the men to work with
right.
the females.
Mm. They figure that the women can respect the...
They can control themselves. Right. Men can't control themselves. And I don't think that's an invalid thought, quite frankly. I don't think it's illegal because... there's a purpose to it that might outweigh, you know, discrimination is illegal, okay, on its face. However, you know, there can be a cause for it or a reason for it that outweighs, you know, if the public interest is served outweighing the discrimination, it could be allowed in the work setting like that. Because that is, a government entity, right, Dean? So, you know, it can't, if it were private, I don't think. Well, I guess the same analysis would go through with private or public.
The problem arises.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with the male population,
right?
When you have to restrain a child,
I got
you. You have a female partner. These children are 200 pounds in excess, and you have a female partner. Right. And it's a safety issue involved there.
Well,
right. So what you're saying
is you're making the argument.
But you know, but what he's saying is that the female shouldn't be working on the male side either.
Right. Well, that may be true.
Yeah.
That may be true.
And as you said, it becomes a safety issue.
In the judicial system in the city of Philadelphia, other than that, you have males working with females in the prisons. You have males working with females and vice versa.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know if
David and I are handling a case right now with a similar issue in that there was a mentally retarded individual who was aggressive. The company knew he was aggressive and they needed to time him out or control his behavior at times. but they didn't have the right personnel there, and they had a man and a woman, and the woman panicked and couldn't do anything to help the male attendant, and the male attendant ended up having to sit on, which is an inappropriate hold, sit on our client, and sat on him long enough that he passed away. And from asphyxiation. And so it is important to have the right people to do that job, who can handle the persons that they're tasked with having to control.
Right.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's something you might want to, it's certainly worth looking into if it's a system-wide thing. It might have never been addressed before for some reason. Yeah.
Now, the other, to pursue that, you had to file a grievance first before you legally get involved.
Well, I assume all the worker, it's a unionized thing, right? They're union workers, yeah. That would be a union-based thing, definitely. And it might be part of the union contract that allows the women to work on the men's side, but not the men on the women on the women's side.
But so.
It was a two-part question. The other part is this: you know, with everyone being concerned about Ebola in the hospital, what happens when it gets into prison?
Good question.
And you're not trained to deal with the population of the kids.
Everyone gets Ebola. That's what happens.
Yeah,
you're right. There's no training there, I'm sure, for that. So. It becomes a problem. The CDC moves in.
You know, I'm sure that other entities are going to start to request that training since we have that problem.
Yeah.
Right now, it's funny you should say that, because right now I think there's about 30 people that the Philadelphia health system is monitoring for possible Ebola symptoms. That monitoring goes on for approximately 3 weeks during the length of the period of time that folks have or can be contagious. Anyway, thanks for calling us. We got to run to other callers, but have a great Sunday, and thanks for being a listener to Court Radio.
Thank you.
215-227-2727. Lines are a-flashing. So let's get back to our topic for today.
Right.
Motor vehicle accidents.
Yes.
Something that we do on a daily basis. There was a cab company in Philadelphia, David, First Keystone, that I and you have had to deal with. And I say that in that way because they were extraordinarily difficult to collect money from. They would settle cases and then not pay for 60 days when, in fact, the law says they have to pay us within 20 days. Well, I always suspected that they were having significant financial issues, and sure enough, they have gone belly up. And as a result, a large segment of the cabs in Philadelphia are grounded. They can no longer operate because the company that they went to to insure them is out of business. And you can't operate a cab in Philadelphia with no insurance. And so we have a depletion of the cabs that would normally be driving around Philadelphia right now. And a company that I'm not all that familiar with, Uber, has tried to step in.
Uber. Yeah.
What is Uber, David?
Uber is actually a system where you, Dean Weitzman, could actually become a cab driver. You sign up on Uber and you put up that you're going to be driving around Center City somewhere, and if someone wants a ride, right?
Yeah.
They post up on the website for you, and you get a thing saying, hey, pick them up on, you know, 5th and Callow Hill at 12 noon, and you can agree to do it, and they'll pay you for it.
Really?
Now, that raises so many issues, and this is why the Uber's having a little bit of difficulty getting approved in a lot of cities and stuff, because what it raises, what we're talking about today, how does the person know you have insurance? Do you have adequate insurance? Are you, you know, what's your driving record? There's no, you know, there's no vetting of you, the driver. You
really?
Just sign up as being the driver. I guess you have to have a valid driver's license, right? But nothing else really that's done to vet you out and whether you have proper insurance and whether you're totally covered. So the passenger is very, you know, taking a big risk. Plus, you could be a serial killer, and, you know, there's the other risk. But that's the same with a cab, right? A regular cab could be a serial killer as well. So So yeah, well, that's what it is.
David, I think there's a movie in this, you know.
Yeah, right, right.
You're fleshing out the plot.
Well, yeah. So it's a cab service, but it's online based and it's for private people. You know, you can be the driver and the passenger. Now, I don't know enough about it. Maybe Larry can enlighten us on how you become the driver. He doesn't know. He says he uses it, but he doesn't know. Okay. So, but that's what I know about it. It's not cab drivers in their profession doing this. It's plain people just saying, hey, I'll give someone a lift.
So I can pull up in the Porsche.
Yeah.
You know, and...
car, yeah.
Okay, but I can only take one person.
Well, you have to.
And they can't be too heavy or, you know.
Or not have a lot of bags either.
Right.
Yeah.
And nobody disheveled, not too disheveled either, you have to.
So the cab drivers obviously are crazed about this. There was a big, I don't know if you were here or not, but about 3 weeks ago there was just, you couldn't even function in the office because there were horns going off and cabs driving all around City Hall. That was because of this.
I feel bad for the cabbies in that, you know, they're just trying to make a living.
That's right.
And get, you know, getting insurance is difficult when they're, you know,
they don't have a lot of options.
Yeah, the company that was covering them is out of business. I think we need almost believe that we need like a government entity to be formed to insure cabs. Because the private sector just does a horrible job of insuring cabs, or spread the cabs amongst all the insurance companies so that they can share that risk and they can get normal coverage.
You bring up a good point.
Surely do.
This shows one of the benefits of government. Okay, if you're one of those people who thinks less government, certain things work better with government. Perfect example is cabs, right? Because why did the private companies do so poorly? Because all they care about is making money, right? Capitalism and greed. So they get all these drivers, right? Some of them aren't qualified. They don't care. Just get out on the street and make money. And then the cars, hey, as long as it turns on, get it out there, right? We don't care what condition it's in. But it needs to be regulated to protect and be safe for the public. And that's where the regulations all came in. And then that's why these companies fail, because they don't adhere to the regulations.
Segueing from regulations to our guest.
There you
we
go.
We have our guest, attorney Jeff Burns, is on the phone. Hey, Jeff, welcome to Court Radio. Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio. Jeff, you're based where?
My office is out of Kansas City, Missouri.
There you go. Calling from
No comments about the Royals last night.
Yeah.
Calling from the middle of the country. So what is it that you're doing that kind of, we're talking about truck safety, we're talking about insurance, we're talking about the fact that last year 33,000 folks lost their lives in this country. I mean, if it was a plague, if it was an epidemic, if it was a terrorism, we would be at war. We would be at war.
Amen. You've been reading my mail. of that number, truck crashes caused between 3,500 and 5,000 deaths every year.
It's a World
You're
Trade
right.
Center every
that's,
year.
That's the equivalent of an airline going down on our roads every week.
Well, it's equivalent of the Twin Towers every year.
Yeah, we are not doing anything about it because those people are picked off two or three, sometimes five or six at a time. But the industry has such lobbying power in Washington that every time we get an effective regulation from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, these economic industry interests swoop in, talk to their cronies with their bot influence, and they try to block it. They do block it.
I feel like I'm talking to David.
I can't believe that, right.
Jeff, what are some of the things that are causing us to lose up to 5,000 fellow Americans a year to truck accidents? Why are these accidents happening?
The overall reason is that, same reason David just said, most of these companies are interested in pushing profits over safety. We have a huge, huge problem out there of driver fatigue. Truck driver fatigue is an epidemic. You talk about an epidemic. One in five drivers admit to falling asleep at the wheel within the past 30 days. Imagine that. When you're driving down the highway, one in five of those drivers has said, yes, I have fallen asleep at the wheel within the past 30 days. And half of them, in the same survey, has admitted to falling asleep at the wheel within the past year. So you need to be very, very careful. When you see a truck weaving or going off the road a little bit or having trouble staying between the white lines, steer clear. That driver is likely fatigued. And the driver doesn't have to be completely asleep to be impaired. It's much like alcohol impairment. The more fatigued the driver is, the more impaired he is. And there's such a thing as microsleeps, where a driver can be keeping it between the white lines, but his brain is effectively asleep.
Right.
And so that's what, and if something new happens, if there's a traffic jam, if there's a construction zone, if there's been an accident, those are the worst crashes on our highways. When there's a backup of traffic that the driver isn't expecting, and he just plows into the back of stop traffic.
We see it all the time at My Philly Lawyer.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of the things that we do when we get new clients involved in these serious truck accidents is we begin to examine the driver's sleep record and really his driving record. How many hours has he been on the road? How many breaks has he taken? When did his day begin? How many hours sleep did he have the night before? And what we're finding is that there's insufficient sleep, driver after driver after driver.
And that's not a surprise to anybody.
Jeff,
everybody involved in the industry knows that. They aren't doing anything.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come right back to you. We're going to take some callers. Stand by. We'll be right back.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Got to give a lead in,
I guess.
Give it all its time. Some poor fool created that.
Wow.
Maybe it was Larry. No, probably romance or something. Somebody created
Boy.
That.
A little long.
Well, yeah, we should shorten it just a tad. All right, we got our friend Jeff Burns on the line from Kansas. Hey, Jeff, welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit. You know, we kind of got you right off the bat. We were talking about trucks. I want to take a caller for a second about cell phones, but then when we come back, I want to hear what your official title is. Let's talk to Johnny from Brooklyn, New York. Hey, Johnny, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning. How you guys doing? Love the show.
Okay. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
No problem. Let me ask you a question. Whoa. You're coming at us from Brooklyn. What's going on? Are we skip jumping across the line here?
Yeah, what do you have, an antenna that's 20 feet long?
Absolutely, man. Big fan, man. You know, I'm in Jersey sometimes, and I click in.
Jersey.
That's what it is.
All right, because my son's up in Brooklyn. I was going to have you knock on his door to see if he's hung over from last night.
Half of Brooklyn is hungover.
All right, Johnny, what's your question or comment?
Yeah, the comment is to go back to what you were saying about, you know, when you enter the car, as soon as the wheels start rolling, you know, the device will cut off. Well, I worked for a parcel service company. I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name. And, you know, soon as the trucks roll, the device cut off. Like, you can't use it whatsoever. Even when you're walking.
See, you're right.
Device now. Use this device to scan the package, you know, and deliver it.
Right.
Even when you're walking, it cuts off. I have to stop and use it.
That's good.
So what you're saying is, you're saying that the technology exists to do what I suggested.
Till this moment, the technology exists. It's just a matter of getting now to the cell phone. It could definitely get to the cell phone, and just like, and I agree with you. It was. I see it happening. You know, coming to the cars. You know, when you enter your personal vehicle, as soon as it rolls, you know, the phone is shut off. I can see it happening. But what's going to happen is the reason I think why it hasn't implemented is because people are going to take it. Driving is supposed to be fun as well. You're supposed to be able to drive and enjoy it. Well, you know, people may take it as, oh, I can't use my phone. You know, it's not fun anymore. So that's probably why they probably don't implement it, because, okay, what's the sense of driving if I can't have fun?
Right.
So, that, you know, that's what I think. But I think eventually it's going to come down to that, you know, and I agree. But, yeah, it's definitely in, you know, that system is up and running.
I think it's more a function of the billions of dollars that the cell phone companies make on people calling, and they've done, you know, probably done the statistics that if everyone couldn't use their phone in the car, those minutes would be reduced by a certain percentage that would cut their profit.
Absolutely.
So that's kind of what it is there. But
I don't know, but if the technology exists and we can save lives, it seems like something that we should really be considering. Johnny, thanks for calling us from Brooklyn, and have a great Sunday.
Thank you.
All right.
You too. Thank you.
All right.
Let's get back to our friend,
Jeff
Burns. Hey, Jeff, welcome back to Court Radio.
Thank you. Great program.
So let me ask you a question. What is it that you're a head of an organization? What are you doing?
Well, I'm not the head. I'm what they call National Transportation Council for a group called Parents Against Tired Truckers. Mm-hmm. There are enough victims out there who have had family members killed or injured by sleeping and tired drivers that there is an organization out there. And a trucking company that's been in the news recently, Walmart, with the Tracy Morgan crash, actually is the reason that this organization started. 21 years ago this month, a sleeping Walmart driver killed four teenagers in Maine. And the mother and father of that teenager, Daphne and Steve Iser, started an organization called Parents Against Tired Truckers. And they have been working and working and working at that issue, screaming it from the rooftops. And they've become very familiar with the folks in Washington, D.C. In fact, this year they were awarded the White House Champions of Change Award for their work for the past 21 years.
Wow.
We see Walmart still having this problem.
Yeah, well, here's what I don't understand, very much like the Trial Lawyers Association. People don't realize that these things have been going on for so long. Then a case like Tracy Morgan comes up, which is highly publicized. And I always say the organizations like yours and the trial lawyers and everyone who does this kind of work should jump on this case and publicize as much as possible what's going on. Instead, what you see is, you know, there's a big headline, and then it starts to die off, and you don't hear anything.
Well, that's
and it
just
becomes the same thing again.
It's a product of the attention span of us, of the
it's
American
24-hour news.
Yeah,
the American public.
You really have nailed it. These crashes, a Tracy Morgan crash,
it happens all the time.
Every single day.
Absolutely.
Between 12 and 14 people are killed in truck crashes every single day, many of them just like this crash.
Oh, yeah.
This crash got national attention because of Tracy Morgan, and I don't want to denigrate that, and I wish him well. You know, it's a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But there are many, many, many of them, and if you read a story at all, it's on the Metro side of the paper on page 3 on an inside page. Two people were killed, 5 people were killed, and nobody thinks about it until, let me tell you something, after one of your family members is killed,
you think about
every
it.
Single one of those victims say, oh my God, there's so many fatigue crashes now.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, yes. talk to us about what's going on in Congress right now, looking to press.
Oh God.
I mean, David and
you
I
would
are,
think they
are,
would want to help.
We're incredulous. How does Congress consider raising the amount of hours a truck driver can drive when we all know that the number of hours that they're driving now is too much?
Because they've got friends who donate a lot of money from the industry who are interested in profits over safety. We've got an amendment by Senator Collins that is trying to remove restrictions on the use of what's called the 34-hour restart.
Where's Collins from?
Maine. She's a senator from Maine.
So from the very state where the folks who started the organization that you're counsel for.
Yes.
Unreal.
Yes. In fact, even though I'm from Kansas City, I'm actually in Maine because I had dinner last night with the people who started that, because every October I come up and we celebrate the life of her son who was killed at 17 years old 21 years ago.
Hmm.
So, and we talked about what could Collins be thinking? The only reason what Collins is proposing is to make it easier for drivers to drive past what are the limits of human endurance. For many, many, since 1938, the limits that a driver could drive has been 70 hours in 8 days, essentially a 70-hour work week for a truck driver.
Right.
And when what Collins is proposing is to give them an unrestricted use of what's called a 34-hour restart, so that they could take they could be off for 34 hours and start their 70 hours over again. Even if they're only on their fifth day and they're out of hours, they can start that again without, and they don't have to wait until their hours can build up again within the 8 days. It is craziness.
I would love to hear what.
Yeah, what's the rationale for it?
I'd like to hear what doctors who study sleep patterns performance, what they say about that type of a rule.
We know that there actually the restart provision exists, but because the FMCSA studied it and had doctors study it, and they said, okay, we can safely have this 34-hour restart rule if within the 34 hours we have two periods of 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. So you have two nights of sleep opportunity, because nighttime sleep is much more restorative. All the science is there, and you can only use it once a week. Those are the restrictions on it now that exist. The Collins Amendment says no. They should be able to use that whenever they want, as much as they want.
Makes no sense.
It just is crazy.
You would think with all the folks that are unemployed that we could find enough drivers that we don't have to tax the ones we have to drive 80 hours in a week.
We would be such good friends if I was in Philadelphia.
All right.
You're welcome to come here. Yeah.
Let's talk to Antoinette on line 3 from Huntsville, Alabama. Antoinette, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, what's your question?
I have a question about uninsured motorists.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how can a person have full coverage and not have uninsured motorist coverage?
Okay.
Full coverage.
There is no such thing.
Yeah, it's well, if I was the owner of the universe, I would define full coverage far differently than most insurance agents.
I don't think there is any definition of full coverage. There's no actual term.
But it's used by insurance agents.
Yeah, well.
Typically, full coverage means to the average agent that you have full coverage on your automobile. That means that you have comprehensive collision, theft. If something happens to the metal that you've purchased, it will be replaced. Less a deductible. That is typically what most folks consider full coverage. It has nothing whatsoever to do with uninsured motorist, underinsured motorist, or full tort. If you know certain jurisdictions have tort coverages, all of that is separate and apart. When somebody says comes into my office typically and says, I have full coverage, don't worry, Dean.
Yeah, right.
That's when I start to worry.
And everything, the uninsured, underinsured, it's all optional. So you can choose.
So uninsured and underinsured motorist coverage
covers
you if you run into, or somebody runs into you that they don't have insurance.
Correct. Or not enough insurance. Uninsured or underinsured.
Right.
But they have to be at fault. You cannot be at fault to use it. So
you're injured as a result of the negligence of another person, and that person has insufficient or no coverage at all. And you've been injured and are entitled to compensation. If you have underinsured coverage, then you can turn to your carrier to pay you for your injuries as if they were insuring the at-fault driver. And you're not going after somebody who you'll never collect from anyway.
It doesn't raise your rate. You've paid a premium for it. It's a benefit that you've paid for.
It's the only way, dare I say, it's the only way to absolutely 100% make sure you are covered.
Correct.
For injuries you've sustained in an auto accident. You cannot count on the tortfeasor or negligent party to have sufficient coverage. So if you're catastrophically injured in Pennsylvania, we have $15,000 as the minimum mandatory coverage. And if I have that, I'm legal. If I cause you a catastrophic loss, you've sustained well more than that in damages. Maybe you'll never be able to work again. How do you collect for your injuries that you didn't cause? The only way you can guarantee it is if you have sufficient coverage on your policy to protect you in the event you're struck by somebody who has no coverage or insufficient coverage.
Even if you have a $300,000 bodily injury.
That's what I was just going to say. That drives me crazy and Dean all the time. People will come in, you'll have a $300,000 bodily injury. What you didn't realize was that covers someone else if you cause an accident. If you are the victim of an accident, though, and the other person doesn't have insurance and you don't have uninsured, you get zero. Nothing. It doesn't matter that you have $300,000
bodily injury. You need $300,000
in uninsured
and underinsured in addition to your liability coverage.
And it's very inexpensive.
And most agents do not provide sufficient information to the insureds. And the only way they get that information is listening to court radio. All right. Well, listen, Antoinette.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great day.
I don't know how you got to us from Huntsville, but God bless. Have a great Sunday. And stay on the line because my producer is going to get your address, and we're going to send you a court radio T-shirt for your question from today.
Thank you.
And buy uninsured and underinsured on your policy. It's not expensive. Yes. It really isn't.
All right. Hold on. All right. Let's get back to Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
Yes, sir.
Do you have uninsured and underinsured motorist in Kansas?
That is the best advice that I've heard from a lawyer in a long time. everybody should buy underinsured. In a lot of states, uninsured is required.
Right. Not PA.
And drivers think they have that. But underinsured is far more important.
Well, you just said the magic words, like the woman who just called. They think they have it. I can't tell you how many people have come into my office and say, what? I get zero, nothing? I can't get compensated?
Yeah, here, no. You know, I'll tell you to our listeners, David and I hear it all the time, but I would be willing to do a seminar for a group of people to discuss what type of insurance is necessary, important to have on your policy. I'll take right. that show on the road to any group that wants to have us to talk about underinsured, because it infuriates me that somebody should spend good hard-earned dollars and have a policy and believe, but incorrectly believe, right. that they're covered. And then, God forbid, when they need to use that coverage, they simply don't have what's necessary. And it's so infuriating that the insurance industry, because yep. they perpetuate,
of course,
that myth or
you think they perpetuate it?
Because
I know they perpetuate.
They reduce their exposure by not providing the proper coverage.
Of course not,
because they get 95% of the insurance dollars out of the liability coverage. They don't get the extra 5%, but they save themselves.
Come on. Best yeah. business in the world. Give me your premiums every year, and now when you make a claim, oops, I'm sorry, we can't pay, or we can only pay a very limited amount, and we get to keep all your money. Woohoo!
Well, the insurance issue is a huge issue of the trucking industry as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
In 1980, when when Congress deregulated the industry, it said, okay, you know what, we're not going to be able to keep our eyes on all these truckers that are going to come in and flood the industry now when we deregulate. So we're going to set a high minimum. And they set $750,000 as the minimum amount of insurance. But but that amount hasn't been changed. You know, it's been over 30 years.
Sure.
And so we've got trucks driving around with only $750,000 of insurance. And when they crash into the back of stopped traffic,
yeah.
kill six people, and paralyze other people, it's yeah. only the big companies that can respond in appropriate damage.
Sure. $750,000 doesn't even pay for 1 year of someone who is a quadriplegic.
That's right.
Or something.
You get a quad. You've got the first year you're yeah. you're into $2 million.
Oh God, easily, easily.
Yeah,
Jeff, thanks for joining Court Radio. We wish we could have more time with you. Please consider giving us a call back later. And have a great Sunday.
Thanks so much. You guys are great,
Jeff. Bye. Before we get rid of you, let me just ask you to please tell our listeners how to get in touch with you if they have any questions about motor vehicle trucking accidents that they've been involved in, or how to organize in their individual states to get the legislation that we need in place.
Well, they can go to the website for the organization, and that's trucksafety.org.
Uh-huh.
Trucksafety.org, and that's actually the Truck Safety Coalition, which is two organizations, Parents Against Tired Truckers and Citizens for Reliable and Safe Highways. And we can always use volunteers. We need more people. It's a David and Goliath story. Hmm. We're up against a very wealthy industry.
All Jeff, right. thanks Excellent. For joining us, and have a great Sunday.
Keep it up.
Thank you.
Keep
Take
it up.
Care.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
All right, let's talk to Dr. Brian from North Philly, who's got an auto insurance question. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, Dean. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I want to make a couple of comments on the previous calls, and then I want to ask my question. You know, just like the truckers, of course, they still have insurance because I guess their claims aren't as low as the cab drivers, whose insurance went out of business. I mean, I don't know what the statistics are on truckers, but I know cab drivers tend to get in a lot more accidents. You know, I'm in the health field myself, and I run an injury practice. And, you know, these cab drivers get into accidents a couple times a year because of sleep deprivation, and many of the same issues
yeah.
that the trucker organization was concerned about.
And you know what? You know what the difference is?
That's why they're out of business, because yeah, they're unregulated.
And the real crime is, and people don't realize it, that in order to be legal in Pennsylvania, according to the Pennsylvania legislature, a cab driver only needed to have the same coverage that any other driver had, which is $15,000 per person, $30,000 per accident. So here you have a cab that could have passengers in the cab crashing into another vehicle.
Yeah, everyone's dead.
And all they
have to be rented by them myself.
Yeah, it's.
Because they're sleep deprived. The badges that they used, you know, they rent them and they have to be on the road like 12, 18 hours a day to make their money. But that's another issue. And as far as you know, the public outcry and the short attention span of the public, it it's really a short attention span that they were engaged in life, and, you know, really the people that should be publicizing it but haven't done it. And then other things, he puts it in the news feed, everything from the World Series to ISIS and Ebola. But my question is different. I'm in the health field myself. I run an injury practice, my partner and I. And I took over some patients for a doctor that had retired and took over his practice. This was one situation where the meds had already been exhausted on this because the lady that was the patient was in a, basically they were driving a charter, they were in a charter bus that got into an accident, even though they had their own auto policy. So before I got to it, the med was exhausted. And so it was out of settlement. I had an assignment. But when it came to doing the final narrative and all the things, referrals, MRIs, that were necessary to, you know, put together the demand package on the part of the attorney. Then the attorney turned around and just dispersed the funds to the patient because the patient said, I want the money.
Right.
And then now I'm left with nothing. I haven't seen dime one. And then the attorney won't talk to me citing patient-client privileges, even though I said it was an ethical dilemma for him, that he knows the law, he was an administrative law judge at one time, and then the patient won't be on me. So I have to, like, take these guys, those are small claims for a $1,000 bill. What am I right in this situation, and what should the attorney have done?
Well, it's what you—it's what you should have done. There's something called it would have been an agreement called a letter of protection.
I'm going to hang up and take the call on the air, okay, Dean?
Thank
okay.
you. Take, all right, Doc.
It would have been something you many of the that situation is common. In Pennsylvania, $5,000 is the minimum amount of medical that an insurance policy has. So most people have $5,000, as we know, that gets used up usually immediately if you have an ER visit and couple other visits. So if that's not available and there's no more money, usually a facility will say, hey, we'll treat the patient, but we want from the attorney what's called a letter of protection. It's different from an assignment. The assignment is the patient saying, I'm going to pay you out of any money I get from my recovery.
And the answer to your question is that you'd have to bring a claim against
that's
the patient.
That's what you said, small claims. Yeah. Your only option right now.
You don't have a claim against the attorney because the attorney hasn't done anything that...
The attorney didn't agree to give you anything.
Yeah, there's never been an agreement. Now, if there was an agreement, David...
A
letter of protection. The attorney signs a letter saying, I will pay you out of the settlement, and then doesn't,
right.
Then there would be a claim against the attorney.
Correct. That's where I was going with all that.
Yeah. All right. Listen, we're going to be right back.
That's why I was interrupted.
We got to take.
And then he mentioned what I was going to say.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today. If you have legal problems and need answers, call my Philly lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call my Philly lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly lawyer. When winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years.
Thank you.
The following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Hey, welcome back to Court Radio. It's Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host, David M. Rapoporto.
Good morning-o.
We got Deborah from Upper Darby on the line. Hey, Deborah, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, Dean. Thank you for your show. I listen to it every Sunday morning. I get so much information I'm able to share with others. I just wanted to comment on the underinsured.
Sure.
And uninsured or underinsured motorists.
Okay.
I just wanted to tell the listeners, please check their policies and to look at it, because I found out, I've also instructed my family members. I used to do that for an insurance company a few years ago. And you'd be surprised how many people are driving around thinking they're insurance. I've had a couple of accidents myself where the individual wasn't insured or they were underinsured, and I was seriously damaged. I was able to get from their insurance company and go after my insurance company for it. But everyone needs to check their policy. Also, I just wanted to make a statement on, because my son, he doesn't believe in it, but I think that every car, whether it's paid off or not, should be fully covered with the uninsured and the underinsurance. A motorist, I had an accident where, of course, I had a hoopty, what they would call in the streets, a hoopty. And they said, why are you paying full coverage? I said, because, number one, I'm not trying to buy another car. And I paid $800 for the car. And when I had the guy hit me, my insurance company paid me $3,500 for the car, because that was the blue book value at the time.
Right.
But, you know, I believe that everybody should keep full coverage regardless.
I don't necessarily agree with you, but you make a good point. What you should do is make sure you know the value of your car. If the value of your car is such an amount that it's worth it to you to get that amount if your car were totaled, then you should have collision. But if let's say the situation was you paid $800 for it and it actually was worth $800, a blue book value, I don't think it's worth paying collision coverage, because you probably spend almost half that on the coverage, because that's the most expensive coverage, because repairing a car costs more than usually just a bumper is going to be more than $800 nowadays. So, yeah, every circumstance.
That's a financial decision you have to make when you get your policy. And if you have only X amount of dollars to spend and you can't spend more than that for insurance, there's more important coverages than collision.
Yeah,
uninsured and underinsured is the first thing you should get. Then if you have extra dollars and you want to do it, get the collision coverage.
How about this? How about wage loss coverage? How about getting more than $5,000 in medical coverage if you don't have private health insurance?
Exactly.
You can get $10,000, you can get $15,000, you can get $100,000.
But if you do have private health insurance, you got Obamacare, you got some health insurance, then you can get by with only $5,000 in health insurance coverage attached to your policy. Look, we could go on That's why I want to do seminars.
Yes.
If folks have big enough groups, David and I are going to come out to your group and give you a private seminar on auto insurance.
Absolutely.
And tell you exactly what to get so you can beat the insurance company at their game. We got to run out of time now because my friend Vince Hughes is standing by looking to jump on my microphone. We'll talk to you next Sunday. Same place, same time. Thanks for being a part of Court Radio. God bless.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.